Chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As I told you earlier, the message today, kicking off our 150th celebration, I've simply titled it "To All Generations." And this passage that Paul is writing about, he's talking about what Christ can do in and through the church, that is, in and through us. And then he says, now let there be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And it says, to him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus. And he says, to all generations. To all generations. When you think about First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, I don't know if you think of it in terms of we have been given a great responsibility. We have been given a great opportunity. We have been given a history and a legacy of a ministry that has impacted, literally impacted, the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1867, Fort Worth Baptist Church was established. Fitzgerald came to Fort Worth out of the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church. He started a congregation in 1867 here in Fort Worth. In 1873, it was renamed the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, because in the city limits of Fort Worth at the time, it was the First Baptist Church. The Christian Church was established in 1855, but the First Baptist Church was established in 1867, being known as First Baptist Church of Fort Worth in 1873. You think about the church. One of the things, when I knew Mary Jo was going to New York, we talked a couple of weeks ago about her sharing this morning. One of the things that First Baptist Church has been about and is about and will continue to be about is missions. When you read about the church and you know anything about the history of this church, certainly you would know that it is a mission-minded church. Literally thousands and thousands of missionaries all across the globe can trace its roots to the ministry of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. In 1909, the church called a young pastor by the name of J. Frank Norris. And certainly, probably the most notable years of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth was during those years when Norris pastored from 1909 to 1952, when he went home to be with the Lord. During that time, there was the Fort Worth Symphony that was refounded by Brooks Morris. And after the refounding of the Fort Worth Symphony, in December the 11th, 1925, they played their first concert in the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, and to over 4,000 people. And I remember having lunch with Brooks Morris Jr. Brooks Morris Jr. spoke of his dad and spoke of Dr. Norris. And he said, Dr. Norris said that any man that could fill his auditorium was going to work for him. And in 1926, just a few months later, Dr. Norris, and we have the original letter, Brooks Morris Jr. gave it to the church, and we have the letter that Dr. Norris wrote hiring Brooks Morris, the refounder of the Fort Worth Symphony, as the music director and leader of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. First Baptist Church of Fort Worth has been known to do community and to reach into the community, to provide for the community. In 1932, in December of 1932, at one of the heights of the Depression, it was announced by Dr. Norris that they were turning a barn-like building into a soup kitchen. And it was also going to be housing for the homeless. It was a difficult time for our nation during the Depression. And yet, First Baptist Church of Fort Worth was on the leading edge, the cutting edge, of providing for the community, and had a soup kitchen and fed hundreds and hundreds of people during that time. You continue to think through the process. Dr. Norris coming in 1909. In 1910, B.H. Carroll had decided, 1908, the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary was formed in Waco, Texas. And B.H. Carroll decided that they wanted to move the seminary. They weren't sure if they're going to move it to Dallas or to Fort Worth. And the story goes that B.H. Carroll told a group of pastors in Fort Worth that in order for Southwestern to move to Fort Worth, Texas, that they would have to raise $100,000 for it to happen. Now, this is in 1910. Now, $100,000 in 1910 would be somewhere in the neighborhood between $3 and $4 million, based on inflation calculators. Go to the web, you can kind of figure it out. But out of the promises that were made to B.H. Carroll at that time from the pastors, Dr. Norris and First Baptist Church of Fort Worth gave $45,000, nearly half, 48% of what was needed to move the seminary to Fort Worth. $45,000. In today's economy, that's $1.2 million. And so Southwestern and those that have been trained in Southwestern through all of these years through Fort Worth, they can trace their roots back to First Baptist Church in Fort Worth. Whether they will or not, that's yet to be seen. But nonetheless, they would have to say it was the people of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth that gave as God had blessed them in order for the seminary to relocate in Fort Worth. And what a wonderful ministry that seminary has been. Through the course of events, L.R. Scarborough became the president. And Dr. Norris and Brother Scarborough, they had a few issues with each other. We won't go into all the details. You can read different people's view on it. But nonetheless, through the process, Norris became really, I think, a little bit ahead of his time, because Norris then began a campaign for the inerrancy of Scripture. And I think all of us today, when we realize the importance of inerrancy of Scripture, we will not argue here at First Baptist Church that the Word of God is inerrant. That it is the Word of God, it is reliable, and we believe every word that's in it is inspired by God, and holy men wrote, just as the Scripture says, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Through that process of taking the stand for what was right, evolution was creeping into the teachings at Baylor and some of the other schools, and Norris took a stand against that. And through the process, the Southern Baptist Convention would no longer seat the messengers of First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. That didn't stop Dr. Norris from doing what he felt God had called him to do. Out of that, not only was First Baptist Church instrumental in Southwestern coming and the training of missionaries and preachers all over the country, literally all over the world, but out of that came the Bible Baptist Seminary. Dr. Norris has started his own seminary. And Dr. Oldham became the president of it, eventually became known as the Arlington Baptist College. Now, as of June of this year, it's Arlington Baptist University. And if you go to their campus, I think you ought to have a statue of Jesus rather than a statue of Norris. But nonetheless, there's a statue of Norris there. And Lewis Ensminger, who was associate pastor of First Baptist Church at the time, they came together. They began the Bible Baptist Seminary. And through the World Baptist Fellowship, which is directly, it's the pastors from the Arlington Baptist College, they have literally sent out hundreds of pastors, started hundreds and thousands of churches and missionaries all over the globe. As Baptists sometimes do, they get a little cantankerous. And if somebody would grab my water out there and bring that to me, I would greatly appreciate it. Now, this isn't your water, is it, Brother Fulton? You didn't drink out of this, did you? All right. I thought we may have to bless it and call it holy water or something. I don't know. But through the process, sometimes, you know, Baptists can get a little cantankerous. You know, when they say you get two Baptists together, you're going to have three opinions. Right? Well, Dr. Norris, through a period of time, pastored both the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth and the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. Now, that's before the days of jets, but they had airplanes. And he would preach, be up in Detroit for a few weeks and preach, and he would come here and preach. Beach and Vic was associate pastor there, Luther Little, and Dr. Inchminger here at First Baptist Church, Fort Worth, held the fort down. And so as time went along, they had a conflict, and actually Norris Temple Baptist had started another seminary. And ultimately, there was a split between Dr. Norris and Beach and Vic and the Baptist Bible Seminary in Springfield, Missouri, where it is now, was formed. And literally hundreds and thousands of missionaries have been trained and gone out to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Three training stations in particular that have a direct link to First Baptist Church of Fort Worth and God's people who have been faithful in giving, faithful in sharing, faithful in seeing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the priority. Southwestern, Arlington Baptist University, Baptist Bible College, and just by way of interest, may not interest you, certainly interested me, there's a young man out of Lynchburg, Virginia, who is a graduate of Baptist Bible College. His name was Jerry Falwell. And now there's a university in Lynchburg, Virginia called Liberty University. Liberty University is now the largest evangelical university in the world. Their online school is absolutely over 100,000 go through their online school, and then they have, I don't know, close to 25,000 or so or more resident students. And just being up there this week and driving from my son's house to see my granddaughter, every day I was passing by that university, and it's absolutely phenomenal what God has done in that place. And it all started because there was a church in Fort Worth who had people who loved the Lord and who would give and who were dedicated in serving the Lord. We think about all that the church has done. Let me just tell you, there's a few things the church is doing today. Our church is involved in the Daily Bread Ministry. The Daily Bread Ministry was, Kobe, how long ago did you start the Daily Bread Ministry now? 23 years ago, God laid it on Kobe Sutherland's heart to go and take food to the seminary to help struggling seminary students and help supplement them by providing groceries for them. And some years ago, God led Brother Kobe and Miss Vivian to First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, and our church has a vital part in the Daily Bread Ministry and touching lives of preachers and missionaries that literally go all over the world to proclaim the good news. But it's the people of God who give and support this ministry that's able to go and provide food for them. I think about when our economy back a few years ago just was starting to affect the Metroplex, and our church took up an offering, and we got some food trucks, and we went to Spicer Elementary, and we handed out boxes of food for families of four. A semi-trailer load where we as a church gave and invested in the community and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. I think about Refresh. I think about the things that our church currently is involved in. But I want to tell you, folks, we can do more. We need to do more. The Bible says, as we've read, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. On the screen, you see our 150th logo with a sermon title on it. In the 150th logo, it says, connected to Christ, founded on truth, discipling generations. Now, in the next 4.5 minutes, I'm going to try to give you 3 points and a point. I don't know about the point so much, but I'll try to give you 3 points I want you to think about. And they'll have to listen quickly. In order for us as First Baptist Church to continue the ministry, I want to break down our logo and just say, first of all, we need to be and must be connected to Christ. Now notice what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul said, there's a reason I bow my knee. There's a reason I pray. And I pray to one and only, I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We as the people of God, we as the church, the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, we must be connected to Christ. And stay connected to the Christ. How do we do this? First of all, we must be dedicated to the Messiah. Dedicated to the Messiah. In verses 14 through 19, we read about growing in Christ, being rooted in Christ. We need to understand something about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't just another good prophet. Jesus Christ wasn't just another teacher. Jesus Christ was and is the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ is the one who came and died on the cross, just as God said to Abraham, when Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Just as God told Abraham that in his seed all nations would be blessed. What was he talking about? He was talking about the coming of Messiah so that there would be forgiveness of sin, that it would be available for all, and that Jesus Christ, Messiah, would come. And you get to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. You get down to verse number 10, and it talks about, as many as received him, to them he gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We must be dedicated to the Messiah. We must realize that Jesus Christ was more than a prophet. Jesus Christ is more than just a great teacher. Jesus Christ is Messiah. Dedicated not only to the Messiah, but dedicated to the message of Messiah. Dedicated to the message. What was the message? Paul, in talking in Ephesians chapter 3 here, he says, to know the love of Christ. That's the message. The message is to know the love of Christ. Now, what is the love of Christ? Well, when you read John chapter 1, you get to verse 29. It says, behold the Lamb of God. John the Baptist proclaiming here, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. When we talk about the message of the love of Christ, you cannot talk about the love of Christ and the demonstration of the love of Christ without talking about the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ. How that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day, that he is Messiah, and the message of the gospel is what changes lives. Our 4 minutes is gone. I have 2 more points. Thank you. I think I will. We have to be connected to Christ. Founded on truth. We must be dedicated to the Word of God. We must be dedicated to the Word of God. Our church for generations has been dedicated to the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Let me tell you, if the Word of God is not the Word of God, if the Bible is not the Word of God, and if the Bible is not the truth, then what do we have? All we have beyond that is the opinion of mankind. If the Word of God is not what the Bible says that it is, and if the Word of God is not truth, all we have is opinion. Now, I value some of your opinions, as I trust you value mine occasionally. But I dare say I have some opinions that you may not necessarily agree with. Because there may be some opinions that you have that I might not necessarily agree with. So where do we come to find truth? Listen to me, students. You will have teachers, you're going to have professors when you graduate high school and you go off to college, if that's the path you've chosen, that is going to try to tell you that truth is relative. They're going to try to tell you there are no absolutes. They're going to try to tell you that the Bible, oh, there's a lot of different gospels. Can I tell you there's only one? Church, there's only one. And when we think about this idea of being dedicated to the Word of God, we must believe and stand on what is truth. We are founded on truth. We stand on the truth of the Word of God. Not my opinion, but what thus saith the Lord. And when my opinion and my preaching is contrary to this book, let me just tell you right now, you believe the book. We have to be dedicated to the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to disciple through the Word of God. When we understand Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to me. The Word of God is powerful. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. What does that mean? He talks about the proclaiming of the message of Christ and the preaching of the Word of God that illuminates our minds and our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God moves in, does His work, convicts us of sin, and draws us to the Savior. Dedicated to the Word of God, we must be dedicated to the will of God. Let me ask you this, as a follower of Christ, when's the last time that you earnestly prayed and said, God, I want to serve and live according to your will, not mine? As Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I think that's a pretty good example to follow. We must be dedicated to the will of God, not just to the Word of God, but to the will of God. When we read the Word of God, finding the will of God, we need to obey and do the will of God in our life. There are some things we don't have to pray about, folks. Listen to me. You don't have to pray about being a witness. Now, you may want to pray and ask God to give you the courage to be the witness, but you don't have to pray about being a witness because the Bible says we are to be a witness. We don't have to pray about whether or not we should give to missions. No, the Bible says we ought to give. There's some things we don't have to pray about. We may need to pray about how much. We need to be dedicated to the Word of God, dedicated to the will of God. You read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to quote that for you this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are to know what the will of God is. Dedicated to the Word of God, dedicated to the will of God, dedicated to the work of God. What does the Bible say? What does our passage say? Notice what it says, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. We need to be dedicated to the work of God. His church. It's fun to talk about First Baptist Church. I will tell you, I love talking about the history of our church. But I love just as much talking about the present day church. And I pray that God will allow us, that we'll be dedicated to the Word of God and to the will of God and to the work of God to the extent that 150 years from now, should the Lord tarry his coming, there'll be another pastor standing in this platform, maybe not this particular one, maybe another one, that will stand and say, you know, in 2017, let me tell you what that church did. Let me tell you how God used them in 2017. Let me tell you, that will not happen if we're not dedicated to the Word of God and to the will of God and to the work of God. Lastly, connected to Christ, founded on truth, discipling generations. We need to be dedicated to Christ's work in us. In particular, dedicated to Christ's work in you. Preacher, what do you mean? I don't know if anybody in this auditorium, I know that there are those that are viewed on different levels, spiritually speaking. There's some of us who've walk this journey a little longer than others. There are some that perhaps have a little more insight because of what God has brought them through and what God has taught them in the Word of God. There may be that, but listen to me. Every one of us who say we're a follower of Christ, who say we're a child of God, God is at work in us. Now the question is whether or not we're allowing Him to do His work as He chooses to do. Are we allowing Him? We've trusted Him as our Savior, and we know that God wants to develop us. Are we allowing that, or are we resistant to that? Are we allowing Him to mold us and shape us? As Paul writes, he says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Notice what it says in verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works, what does it say? In us. Say it with me. In us. One more time. In us. By the power that works in us. God chooses to work in us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident that He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, God begins His work in you. He's forgiven your sins, He's made you a new creation, and He begins His work in you. And we must be dedicated that we read God's Word. We spend time in prayer. We allow God to speak to us through the message from His Word, through the teaching of His Word. We need to be dedicated to Christ's work in you. We need to be dedicated to Christ's work, listen to this, through you. Not only does He want to work in you, He wants to work through you. You get that? Not only does He want to work in you, but He wants to work through you. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouthpiece. What does it say? Verse 21. To Him be glory in the church. Just stop right there. Who is the church? Us. You. And it says, to Him be glory in the church. Now, we look at it, and this is not an improper way to look at it, as a corporate body of believers. Each one of us has a place within the body of Christ, this local body, First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, to function. And God uses in His Word the analogy of a body.
And he says, the eye can't say to the hands, I have no need of you. The feet can't say to the hands, I have no need of you. The hands can't say to the ears, I have no need of you. Why? Because it's all joined together. God is working in us. He wants to work through us. And to him be glory in the church. How is that going to happen? The only way that he can be glorified in the church is if we're allowing God to work in us and through us in the church. And as the church. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. We can't do it on our own. It's Christ working in us. And it is Christ working through us. And when we remember that, it should ease the fears, ease the tendency to be fearful in witnessing and sharing the good news and serving in the church. Why? Because it's by Christ Jesus. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. It's not just to those in the early 1900s. It's not to those in the mid-1900s. It's also for this generation. It's also for you. We have to be dedicated to allow God to work in us and through us. I'm going to ask the deacons to come. Quickly, gentlemen, if you'll come. And I want you to hand out a gift to everyone here. And while they're handing that out, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, because this is the key. And what you're about to receive, let me have one of those, Chuck, if you would, sir. Or thank you, Fulton. What you're about to receive is this little jar right here. And in this jar right here, those of you who've seen these, it's a candle. And in Matthew chapter 5, when we think about our work, what we're to do as a church, to be seen, to be a light in a dark world, I want this candle to be a reminder to you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the previous verses, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine for Christ. Ladies, each day that you take these candles, I doubt the men, maybe they will light it occasionally, but I imagine it's going to be predominantly you ladies. Let me ask you to do something. When you light this candle, you remember you're to be the light of the world. And then you share with your husband, say, sweetheart, hey, I lit the candle today. We're to be light in a dark world. We're to be light in a dark world. We're to let our light shine so that others will know. That's being dedicated to God's work in us and being dedicated to God's work through us. But it's all by Christ Jesus. May we be a people. May First Baptist Church of Fort Worth be dedicated to the Messiah. Be dedicated to the message. May we be dedicated to the Word of God, to the will of God, to the work of God. May we be dedicated to God's work in us.
God's work through us. May we follow Him. May we trust Him. May we lead others into the saving knowledge of Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed.